The life is more than meat. Body more than raiment. Well, all right, the life is God. And the body is God. And it won't matter how long you study, how many years, there will come a time when this will be accepted. And then truth will activate itself where you are. Let's accept it for the moment. My body and my life must be of the substance of God, for there is no other. Now, what do I lack in supply? Nothing. So I can let that thought go. I can drop it. And if I don't drop it, I'm not accepting spiritual substance, divine law. You see how you cannot accept and still maintain the belief in a lack of supply? Which is it, God or mammon? You drop the false concept. I do not lack supply. The I that I am does not lack supply. Oh yes, this physical concept called me may lack supply, but I'm just learning that isn't me at all. Now you're in identity, divine sonship, and you find that the Father hasn't overlooked a thing. The Father is much more practical than you ever were. The Father is so practical that every need has been provided for. Nothing has been missing or withheld. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. God feedeth them. And now we feel kind of silly. I was worried, really, about the food bill, the food budget. Would we have enough? And here's God feeding ravens. I just didn't have confidence in that. But it means what it said. If God feeds the ravens, what about me? Will I be unfed? How? By the law of transformation in life itself. It is automatic. The law of transformation in your being feeds itself. Your substance is the fullness of everything you need. Your substance is self-contained. In other words, everything is bringing you into who are you. You see why this couldn't be accepted? They thought he was teaching them that a person doesn't have to worry, that a person is as good as a raven. But he wasn't. He was teaching them that they weren't persons. But even a lowly raven, which is less than a person, gets fed. He was teaching them, and us, that we are living spirit. Now, without any needs. For every need has been fulfilled in our own being. And the moment we accept the presence of God is the spirit of my being here and now, you're in the rhythm of the universe. Then you can do what the raven does, what the lily does, what the sparrow does. It just knows. Everything is taken care of. But you can't do it as a person. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Which of you, with taking thought, can add to a stature one cubit? And you remember, that's a mistranslation. Stature should be length of life. They took it as length in space, but it should be length in time. Stature is the length of a person in space, but it really was length of a person in time, the lifespan. Meaning, which of you can, with taking thought, can add to his lifespan one cubit? And we can't. And therefore, if you can't do the least of this, why try for the most? Always teaching again that the human brain, which tries to think truth, know truth, and apply truth, is not the place where the work is done. And so we come to a principle. A woman said to me last week, my friend called, or some relative who was sick, and I wanted to double-check the procedure. And I didn't spend the time to completely explain what should be explained. Now you're taking thought about that person's health, because that person said to you, I'm sick. And suppose that person lives a certain distance from you. Suppose, for example, right now, one of your close relatives, one of your children, were to call and say, I'm sick, will you help me? You would always begin your work with the belief that your son, your daughter, is there and you are here. And that's because you're taking thought. Now here's a fine point and a very important one. You receive the information where you are. You received it here, and here is where you must solve it. You cannot solve that person's health there. And many of us have tried to do it. We have tried to throw our thought there. He's there, and I've got to get him well there. Well, you're not going to get him well there if you don't get him well here. It's here where the work is done. And here means in your consciousness. Right here where you are is where you receive the call, and here is where you must solve the call. Everything is done here in your consciousness, and that's the secret of supply. You want it out there. You want more acreage. You want a nicer home. You want a nicer car. You want a nicer this. You want a nicer that. Out there. You can't get it out there. It doesn't belong to you out there. You don't have spiritual title to it out there. And even when it appears out there, it still won't be out there. If it isn't in your consciousness, the out there will never manifest for you. And if it does, it won't mean a thing. You don't get supply out there. You get it in your consciousness, and then it appears out there. You get it in your consciousness that the substance of my being is God. That's where supply is. That's where your life is. That's where your clothing is. That's where your home is. Everything out there is in your consciousness that God is the substance of my being here. That's why supply is such an important subject, because it brings us right smack into the truth of all being, the here-ness of my substance, the faith in my substance, the faith in the law functioning in my substance. The law of eternal perfection is functioning here. Now, just to show you why it doesn't come into your experience unless you know about it, you may not be conscious of the air around you right now. You may not be conscious of breathing until it's mentioned. And then when it's mentioned, oh yes, you're conscious of breathing. But you weren't conscious of breathing or the air until it was mentioned. Then it came into your thought. Then it comes into your consciousness. Do you know there was a period in our lives when we all went through becoming conscious of air? And that's how breathing became part of our being. We had to reach the place where we became conscious of air every moment until it became a natural thing to do, to breathe. We had to learn how. We don't remember it now. It happened too far in the dim past of history. We have to become conscious of the substance of life as our own substance. We have to think about it, literally take thought about it. And then you see your thought, you become conscious of. You can't be conscious of something unless you first had a thought about it. And so you become conscious of your thought. Your thought is about the life of God as your substance, and ultimately that thought becomes something you're conscious of. And when you're conscious of it, it manifests in all its glory. Then you're spiritually conscious. Then you take no thought, because you already have put the seed into consciousness, and it is your permanent consciousness. Now, actually, there's no person then who can suffer from lack of supply. They have the wrong idea about supply. Supply is the substance of God, and everyone is the substance of God. So you can't suffer from lack of supply. You are the supply. You can suffer from your unawareness of it, because you haven't taken thought about it to make it your consciousness. It isn't in your consciousness yet, but it will be. And when it becomes consciously yours, that I am the substance, then you know that the supply you've been seeking is your substance. I am the substance. I am the supply. It isn't outside. I am it, my substance. Ah, that's the meaning here then. Which of you, with taking thought, can add to a stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? All of this thought, the planning, the strategy, the mapping out of program, was your unawareness that I am the supply now. I am that tree of life, and long as I know it, it will shower forth a fruitage, and it will be those things that I need. For even the need and the forms that these needs shall take is taken care of right here in this passage by the Word of God. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Why? Because there aren't any lilies there. That's our concept of the perfect light, the perfect divine idea. The perfect light is far better arrayed than Solomon in all his glory. The perfect light of your being is better arrayed than Solomon in all his glory. And there's no taking thought about it. It's the fact. It is. Now, the perfect light of God now is the fact. And we finally see the Bible has no promises for us at all. The Bible has never made a promise. Everything here is a statement of fact. There's nothing to improve, for you are that substance now. And only when you're conscious of it does the law of transformation manifest as the activity in your consciousness. Then, the same way the invisible sap becomes the appearance of an orange, so does the invisible consciousness of you manifest with divine intelligence as, not oranges, but whatever you need, without taking thought. As you begin to feel this more deeply, you see that the law is already established in its fullness from beginning to end, that your enlightened consciousness, which is the acceptance of divinity, manifests its own omniscience, its own omnipotence, as every form that you require. But the human self is not taking, the orange isn't deciding how to grow. The human isn't deciding what it needs. It's the acceptance of your own being as the only reality. We all have found that in some way or another, the world we know begins where I am. I'm in. I look out. I see out there. But when you accept yourself as the substance, you can't live that way. You can't be thinking of everything in this world as beginning right here, where you are. This word here stretches out. It covers the universe. You begin to think of yourself in a different way as an everywhere self. You're not like a tree rooted in the ground, giving just fruit on this tree. You're an everywhere self. The world, which is your consciousness, is only going to give fruitage if you are an everywhere world, an everywhere spiritual self. That's why you're praying for your enemies and forgiving those who offend you. And that's why you're showing service to others. That's why you're expressing gratitude. You're seeing yourself as an infinite being. You're not limiting God to a spot. You're not limiting being to a spot. And oh, how many times we completely forget that we're not just a person in this form. That isn't us at all. We have to get outside of this person, and that is when you can forever forget the human sense of supply. Your universe comes back to the center of itself where the form appears to be, and your universe sustains itself where you are. If you had to raise all your own fruit and vegetables in a little patch of land, you'd find you couldn't do it. If you have to live a perfect life, as the Father says, you can't do it in a little place. You have to be in the kingdom, in the infinite kingdom, as the infinite self. And so catch yourself from time to time if you're trying to localize your life down to a spot within a form. It isn't you. I find just a few minutes devoted to that is a tremendous release. Just the knowledge that I'm not just a point here. That little blob has got to go. When I accept divinity, divine selfhood, Christhood, you accept the infinite nature of your being. And that's how you cast out upon the waters that which comes back. That's what Joel means when he said, you can't realize supply unless you cast it out on the waters. You must give it forth for it to come back. And your giving forth is the recognition of infinite selfhood. Now that call from the friend who wanted help, if you had your friend out there and you here, you had two. There's only one Christ. How could you have two? You hadn't accepted infinite selfhood. You had a separation between you and your friend. That's why they were out there in another city and you were in this city. That isn't true. That's when you live in the blob, in a little person. And then everything you do is from the standpoint of a human being trying to help another one. But it's not spiritual. It's not accepting. It's having no confidence in God's word. Now I and the Father are one. And what about the one who called you? Isn't that one one with the Father? And if you're both one with the Father, aren't you one with each other? Is there a separation between you and your Son? between you and your daughter? How can there be? The separation is in the sense perception which sees a physical world. You and I are not separated. We never were. We never will be. No one is separated from another. Only in our finite sense perception mind. You see how all of this is connected to supply? If you have an infinite garden, do you have more fruitage than if you have a little patch? If you have a spiritual garden, do you not have perfection working that garden? Finally, the taking possession is the recognition of the one infinite self. And so there's no outside. There's no person calling from another city. There's only the one self there and here as one. And rest, the law of transformation will show forth the fruitage just as if it were oranges on a tree. The law is always working in identity, as long as you don't interrupt identity and make it 2, 3, and 10. 10 righteous men save a city by being one, and that one is always a majority with God. Now you see how all of this comes out of the little revelation that the lilies of the field are not spinning. Something is happening from the universal, imitating the perfect idea of God. Always your perfect supply in the outer will be the imitation of the divine idea. And when your consciousness of your spiritual identity is established, it will then create your world in its own divine image and likeness as the forms of divinity. The image and likeness of your consciousness is the world you are now experiencing. When that consciousness is divine, then you have the divine image and likeness. When it is human, you have the human image and likeness. When it is wheats and tares, you have both. A division. Divine thought can never say, I lack. Human thought says, I lack. So you weed out that tare. That human thought is a lie. I lack. Divine thought says, I have, I am. And that's where you rest, accepting the presence of divinity. That's having confidence in the authority, in the truth, in the words of God. I think some of you may be wondering if we're over the hour. We're using a long tape today to see if we can do the whole class without an intermission. See if we can not break the continuity. Where you are is God. If that is not established, you are going to have a mental teaching. Where you are is God. And wherever you go is God. At any time of day or night, awake or asleep, where you are is God. This must be your living consciousness. And where God is, the law of perfection, the law of God is functioning. When you accept that, you'll find every book ever written can add very little to your consciousness. Because that's the core from which all things must begin. Where you are is God. You wake to this, you live with it, you remind yourself of it, you go to sleep with it. And no matter what report comes to you, where you are is God. And therefore, any report that is not reporting perfection, where you are, is a lie. Because where God is, perfection is. You are always standing in perfection. It doesn't matter what shows. That which shows as imperfection is the lie, because where you are is God. That's your basis of living in the kingdom of God. If then God so clothes the grass, which is today in the field, tomorrow cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Again, you are the light. You need not toil or spin or take thought. Always identity is being stressed here. Until he comes to the greatest revelation, perhaps, in this. Rather seek ye the kingdom of God. All these things shall be added unto you. But you are the kingdom of God. Accept it. And all these things shall be added unto you. Now you have a consciousness that I am the kingdom of God. And now the world wants to break that down. The conditions of the world want to tell you, you are not. But the truth is that you are. And the question is, will you uphold and be faithful to that truth? Or will the world persuade you that you are not the kingdom of God? That's the issue, right down to the nub. And as the kingdom of God, where do you begin and end? From head to toe, from elbow to elbow. Here, where I am is God. Now, does that limit God to being just where I am? Here, where I am is God. But God is everywhere. Therefore, the moment you accept that here, where I am is God, and God is everywhere, you accept the words of the Father, Son, thou art ever with me. Wherever God is, I am. And you are laying the consciousness of spirit over your universe. And that becomes the law of your universe. The transforming law of your universe is your acceptance that here is God and God is everywhere. Here is my being and my being is everywhere. You are laying spiritual awareness over your universe. And there is no other universe. You are bringing everything in your universe under spiritual law, and that is why the added things will come up just as they do in a tree. Your universe is a tree. And throughout your universe, the spirit will consciously bring itself into fruition. And to crown it, to cap it all. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You don't have to do a thing about it. The Spirit gives. The Spirit does. The Spirit provides. The Spirit comes forth as. Your function is to be conscious of your spiritual infinite identity as the invisible spiritual universe. This is only the center of it, you might say. This center is the awareness center. The whole television set works because you do a little something on the knobs. The knobs, that's this form, you might call it. Where you stand is the knobs. The universe is the television set. This is the control center. And the control center is where you know the truth. And then relax. Know the truth of your infinite universe and its ever-present perfection. There's no lack of supply in it. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, intake no thought, which you find either in Matthew or Mark or Luke, in the Sermon on the Mount. When you have given it enough consideration and contemplation and understanding so that you can accept it, then it's the law unto you, and whoever would deny that law has no power. There's no power outside of the kingdom of God. And if you are the kingdom of God, if you are standing in the knowledge of it, there is no other power. There is no power to lack. There is no power to die. There is no power to grow old. Because to know the kingdom of God aright is to experience that life which is the eternal life. It is an experience, a knowledge, that you are in that eternal life and you find you're not in the life you thought you were in. You really step over. You step out of the concept. You're in the eternal life that doesn't know lack, that doesn't know limitation, that doesn't know opposing powers, that doesn't know sin, disease, limitation, that doesn't know any form of physical disability. There is such a life. It is here. It is now. It is you. This is all about that. I'm sure that Joel lived the eternal life while he was among us. I'm sure that Jesus lived the eternal life while he was among us. I'm sure that you and I will live the eternal life while on this earth. Knowingly, and show it forth. Because that's the purpose of the teaching, that we be perfect. And then we enter into a new circle. Now you're not just trying to get supplies so that this body can be healthier or live longer. That's not it at all. You're not seeking supply anymore. I am supply. Now you're feeding the multitude. You're not looking for supply. You're giving supply. Jesus wasn't looking for supply. Joel wasn't looking for supply. They were giving supply. Expressing life. Life expressing itself. To look for supply is the human approach to life. To give supply is the spiritual way. And so we find that without taking thought or making effort, there is an overflowing moving through you and out into your universe. And it appears out there as someone receiving alms. It appears out there as someone receiving a gift package. It appears out there as someone else benefiting in some way from what would appear to be your benevolence. But it isn't. It is your spiritual selfhood manifesting in the visible, without anyone taking thought about it. It is the infinite living itself through you. Now, that's the level we want to live out of, because the circle of light isn't composed of those who are seeking supply. It's composed of those who are aware of themselves as the light. And supply is an automatic grace, an inner grace, that flows from their acceptance of identity. And then we're not only a light unto ourselves, but to our families, a light to our little groups, a light to our present society, to our community, a light to our nation. And we join the eternal light, that circle which stretches throughout our infinite being. We're making our transition from man of earth to the light of God, lifting the consciousness out of the false beliefs of yesterday, no longer having needs, for we have found the kingdom of God in which all things are self-fulfilling. And it isn't a place called heaven in the sky or in tomorrow. We have found that heaven is our substance and our knowledge of that substance. We have the knowledge that we are the substance and the continuing consciousness that we are that substance. And that's confidence. That's where you no longer have... That's your prayer without ceasing. That's all there is to it. And you're making a turn. It begins to flow the other way. You're not reaching out for it. You're producing it from within yourself. You're not thinking it into existence. God is. There was a woman on the phone this morning with a stomach ache. And she told me about something Joel said on page 36 of one book and 78 of another book. And she was going on and on. And every word she said was true. But she still had her stomach ache, because she was trying to make the words do something, forgetting who she was. Please don't make words do something. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And after you have found the kingdom of God, which is your being, your substance, knowing that, holding that, there should be an end someday of seeking the kingdom of God.